Theological Seminary's Chapel Podcast.
Joanne Hummel is in her 19th year on the pastoral staff at Bentree Bible Fellowship in Carrollton, Texas. She currently serves as pastor of Global Missions and Prayer. A gifted communicator, Joanne is passionate about helping people experience the abundant life found only in Jesus Christ. In addition to teaching at Bentree, she has traveled widely to train existing and emerging church leaders around the world. Her international ministry includes advocating for women and children affected by slavery and human trafficking. Joanne holds a master's degree in Christian education from Dallas Theological Seminary. All students are invited to meet with Joanne after chapel at the SMF Pizza Social in Mitchell 108. Now please join me in welcoming Ms. Joanne Hummel.
Well, you know you've arrived when they announce that we thank you for your service over the years. So let that tell you. It actually was 23 years ago that I sat right where y'all are sitting, kind of in the middle. A bunch of small core of women in a sea of coats and ties. My, how things have changed. We used to live in fear of missing chapel, but I see that no longer exists. So this is truly the age of grace has come to DTS, but it's really an honor to be here, and I hope that this is an encouraging few moments that we get to spend together. When I was sitting where you're sitting, I was wondering, just like you, what my future would be. If I would even have a job, I left a job to come to seminary, and what my future in ministry would be. And 23 years later, I'm in a wonderful church, Bentree Bible Fellowship in Carrollton. I've had a plethora of different jobs, and about 15 years into my career at Bentree, I transitioned from demographic ministries, women's ministry, children's ministry, into missions. I had developed a heart for missions by taking teams of women to Africa and saw what a world vision could do for church people here. And so I entered into this job in missions, and 2 weeks later, Katrina happened. And of course, we didn't have a local outreach ministry at that time, so I was literally swamped. As New Orleans was drowning, so was Joanne in her office, thinking, what in the world are we going to do? And that initiated probably the toughest 3 years in my ministry career. So that by 2008, honestly, I was absolutely numb. The relentlessness of Sunday coming regularly on a weekly basis, and all the pressures of a large mission program, a budget of over $1 million, 56 missionaries in countries around the world, 26 or 27 countries. I was under the impression that it was my job to make the church missional. And I was cracking under the weight of that misconception. I was beginning to be numb in my own spirit, and I remember thinking to myself, well, I'll go start my doctorate. That's the way you get rid of numbness. I'm saying that to all the doctors up here. And so I did. I started that, and of course, in human wisdom, that was probably a silly thing to do, but God is so gracious. And it was in China when God began to rescue me from the numbness of ministry and the false expectation that was my responsibility to make the church missional. Maybe you're here this morning and after that exegetical and that obscure verse of Ephesians or your 20-page outline of the book of Hebrews or you're struggling for 10 more illustrations or observations to pull out of Acts 1:8, you're thinking to yourself, what am I doing here? I've lost my sense of purpose and mission. Here's what I'd like to offer as an idea. Missional is not something that we do. Missional is something that we are. And here's my syllogism. Jesus is missional. Jesus lives in us. Therefore, we are missional people. The Holy Spirit wants to awaken us to our missional identity and purpose in Christ. His life in us needs to be released, and frequently that happens through brokenness. So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, I wonder what in the world I'm doing here, you're in exactly the right spot. Because God is about to release in you an understanding of the missional life of Jesus in your own heart. So let's see what God says in his word about the missional life of Jesus. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 14 and work down to verse 19. In my course of the Holy Spirit reviving me beginning in China, I was in a house church in Shanghai, and there was a large room, and it was full of mats on the floor, and we were in there with my cohort for my doctoral program, and it was a part Korean, part Chinese pastor, and he was talking about his church, and he said, these mats that you see in front of you that we're picking up so you can all sit on the floor, these are prayer mats, and our church comes to pray every day from 5 in the morning till 7. And it was then the Holy Spirit began his work of reawakening in my heart. And he said, Joanne, you have a prayerless life, but I love you too much to leave you that way. He didn't spank me. He didn't condemn me. It was the most loving act of truth the Holy Spirit has ever spoken into my heart. And it was then he began to revive my purpose and my identity and my passion for Jesus. And in a story that's too long to tell, God began to reawaken me to the missional life of Jesus that is in me, the DNA that comes from the one who came from heaven to earth to pour out his life on our behalf. That is in me, and it's in you. And Luke describes in Jesus' own words his own personal mission statement. And I'd like to just read through that and then make some comments and observations. Starting in verse 14 for the context, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. This is just after his temptation in the wilderness, and the Spirit has stood Jesus up on his feet and allowed him to withstand the tempter's onslaught. And so he moves in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. This is the honeymoon period. This is probably around the first year of Jesus' ministry. And so he's still in that celebrity status of the miracles, and people are praising him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, coming back to his hometown. Sort of like coming back to seminary after 23 years. It's interesting. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. This is Isaiah chapter 61, and a little piece from Isaiah 58. And this is what he reads. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when he finished, he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Now he's ready to teach because he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. I love that. They're fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, this is a short 8-word sermon, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I see 4 elements of Jesus' missional life in verses 18 and 19. I just want to pull them out for you and talk about what God may want to do in your own life, as he's done in mine, to revive that sense of being missional. Remember, missional is not what we do. Missional is who we are. It's who you are. So Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me. 3 aspects of the Holy Spirit, and that's the first element of a missional life. The presence, the power, the anointing, and the sending of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is on him. Remember, at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of the Lord descends on Jesus, and he comes upon him. And there's that beautiful voice that comes from heaven and said, this is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. And Jesus comes out of that as the Messiah, the anointed one. But notice that the Holy Spirit is sending Jesus. He is upon Jesus. He anoints Jesus, and he's sending Jesus. You and I have that same Holy Spirit in our lives. But the challenge is, honestly, that in the busyness of ministry and the crush of the things that we do, we can lose this intimacy with the most intimate person in our lives, who is closer than our breath. And the Lord began to do a work in my heart in 2008 that I still can't explain to you theologically. I know it was a revival of the most profound. I'm a different person today than I was in 2008. The Holy Spirit captured my heart in a way. I've always had the Holy Spirit. I know all the theology. I'm a good DTS girl. But I want to tell you that there are parts of the theology that I have held on to in the past that do not explain what happened to me that day. The Holy Spirit captured me in a way that I have never been captured before. So much so that when I came back from this series of events, it was China first, and then the Amazon second, and then Russia, all in a matter of 2 months. Don't ever let me do your travel arrangements. When I came back, a friend of mine from a neighboring church looked at me, and from his theology in the charismatic church, he said to me, "You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit." He didn't even hear one word from me, and he could see. He could sense a change. And that's what I'm saying. I can't tell you what happened. I don't know all the right words for it. I don't want to defend it. I just want to live it. And for us to live a missional life is to live in the present intimacy of the Holy Spirit, in his depth and in his love for you, and in a passionate pursuit of Christ that only he can give us. He is on you, he's anointed you, and he's sending you. This is the dynamic of the Holy Spirit that Jesus needed to fulfill his ministry, and we need that as well if we are to be missional people. We are already missional. Living that out requires this presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how he's going to do that with you. I would imagine he customizes it for every person because we're so individual. But we learn from Jesus' mission statement himself that the Spirit of the Lord was primary in his mission. Remember, missional is not what you do, it's who you are, because the life of Jesus lives in you. And the life of Jesus is characterized by this power and presence and the sending of the Spirit. The second thing that I see is proclamation. Three times that word is used, to proclaim, to proclaim, to proclaim. He starts here, to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And in the end, in 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the year of Jubilee. Proclaim, proclaim, proclaim. And you know what? We can sit back at DTS because this is what we are trained to do, be proclaimers. That's what we do. But I want to talk about what we proclaim, because I think the other thing the Lord needs to revive in us as we are, he is revealing and awakening to us the missional life of Jesus, is that we're preaching good news. We're preaching good news. Look at the good news that Jesus was preaching. Hey, you blind people, you don't have to be blind any longer. Hey, you oppressed people, I'm going to set you free. Hey, prisoners, come on out of that cell. You poor and humble and contrite, you will have freedom. It's good news. And so often in my early upbringing as a believer, I was so focused on the penalty of hell that I forgot the good news of heaven and the life that Jesus offers us to experience his life, the abundant life. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a life. It's like the full package, the in Christ package. That standard package comes with this good news. And we are purveyors of the good news of the life of Jesus. I love that. He's not proclaiming judgment and the end of all things. It's not the gloom and doom on Facebook today, day one of the death spiral of the United States. That's why I'm dressed in black. a moment of mourning. Jesus didn't come with that message, and of anyone, he could have come with that message. Yes, he preaches judgment. Yes, all of those things. He's talking about those things, but the essence of the gospel is good news. It's a happy gospel from a happy God who loves his people. That has to be reawakened in us, that we are purveyors of a wonderful message of life. So the Holy Spirit and his primacy in being a missional person, and also the proclamation of the good news, let the Holy Spirit refresh you in the beauty of the good news. The third thing is demonstration. So there's the Holy Spirit and his intimacy and his empowering in our lives. There's the proclamation, the preaching forth, the content of the message of the gospel, the good news. And then there's a part that we leave out a lot, and that's the demonstration. And this is where I'm really growing and changing myself. I come from a Plymouth Brethren background, my mostly pagan upbringing till I was 15, and then I became a Christian. And early after Bible college, I lived in Pittsburgh, and my best friend, Nancy, her family went to a Plymouth Brethren chapel, so women were not allowed to speak, and I covered my head, and I was silent in the church. If we had a mission speaker come, she could stand there, and she had to hand her testimony to a man to read the testimony. She could smile with her head covered, wave, and stand there. So I'm not coming from this liberal background. I'm not bringing that into it. And also, the theology that I was kind of raised under is more cessationist in its teaching. So the book of Acts might as well almost not even be read because none of it applies to us. None of it applies. It really is kind of Paul and the epistles. And so I came with that frame of reference. But then you read the Gospels and you read the book of Acts and on to the epistles, and you realize that there were believers living missional lives because of the life of Jesus, and they were literally being the hands and feet of Jesus, carrying on what he did, demonstrating the love and the power of God in the lives of people. Jesus himself says this. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners. He's going to free prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind people, and all of these things have a spiritual meaning and a natural meaning. So it can be spiritual blindness or actual blindness, real in prison or in a prison of sorts, real oppression or the oppression that we sometimes feel. So in this text are the natural and the spiritual connotations of these things. But what Jesus does, he says, I'm going to give people their sight. I'm going to relieve people from the oppression of the evil one. I'm going to cast out demons. I'm going to do things that demonstrate the gospel. And I found in my life before this time of renewal that I was even afraid to pray with boldness for God to do things because I was so afraid he wasn't going to come through. Have you ever prayed that way? Oh, Lord Jesus, please heal this person. Now, if it's your will, I don't know if it's your will. It probably isn't your will, but Lord, if you would just heal this person, maybe you would lean down from heaven and just do a special thing for me. I've been so, so good. We protect God's reputation. We don't want him to look bad. I think now God really can take care of himself. And my role is to demonstrate the gospel, to go into situations and demonstrate the gospel, to go in and say, Jesus is alive and well, I'm his hands and feet. The church is the hands and feet of Jesus in this world, and we bring that amazing resurrection life into dead situations. God uses us and speaks through us and touches through us and moves through us to do these things. He's still demonstrating his love today. But we hold back. We're uncomfortable perhaps with that. And I am too in some ways. I look forward to the day when I can I ask the Lord to help me to learn how to demonstrate his word. And so I ask him to speak to me if I see someone, just to let me know if they need prayer or just point somebody out. So I'm in Costco, this is a couple of months ago. And I saw the lady who checks you in. They don't really look at that slip, but you know, that lady that you have to stop in the long line. So I'm in Costco and I see her foot bandaged up and I'm like, I know the Holy Spirit's asking me to pray for her. I know, right in the middle of Costco, right? So I go in, of course, you know, because you want to check that. You want to kick the tires of what you sense the Holy Spirit saying, because you don't want to just be weird in front of everybody in Costco, right? Not that there's any weird people in Costco, you understand. But anyway, so I'm like, well, if she's still there when I come back, well, of course she was still there. And so what do? I ease up to her. I'm in the line. I'm like, oh, and you know what? I passed her right by. I got into the car. Holy Spirit's still telling me. I even turned around and chickened out. I long for the day when my first and bold impulse is to stop everything when I hear the voice of the Spirit saying, go. Demonstrate the love and care. Show that woman that God sees her. That in the milieu of Costco, she is known and loved and seen, and life wants to break forth in her life. You can do that. Maybe you, like I, have grown accustomed to having the faith up here and not necessarily coming out here. It's easy to do in seminary and it's easy to do in church work. Because what I do in my office kind of counts. Okay, God, I work my 8 hours and I got my paycheck, it counts. But God wants something more for us. It's a life that we live. Remember, mission is not what we do, it's who we are. And who we are doesn't stop at 5 o'clock. Who we are carries on 24/7 for the rest of your life. And so it's the Holy Spirit's presence, his life, his power, his anointing, his sending. It's the proclamation of good news. It's good news. I had good news for that lady, and I was too afraid to tell her. And then it's demonstration. Guys, I challenge you today, wherever you go, ask the Holy Spirit to show you someone who needs a word of prayer, who needs an encouragement, who needs a dollar. I don't know what it is, but you ask the Holy Spirit, and I will tell you, your eyes begin to open up to the world around you. We are so intent on our schedule, we don't even see what's around us. It's time to demonstrate the gospel. And if really this is day one of the death spiral, it's even more important that we demonstrate the gospel wherever we go. We demonstrate that life. I was with a group of friends in our community where I live, and we have a very missional community, a community that's on fire, passionately pursuing Jesus in our neighborhood, and we were asked to come and pray over a man who's dying of cancer and to pray healing. He wanted us to pray for him to be healed, and we're still standing and believing in that until we know anything different. We're praying every day for Kevin to be healed. And it was once again reminding me the importance of demonstrating with faith what God can do, who God is and what he can do in this broken, desperate world. To stand around that hospital bed and join hands and sing and pray is one of the rare privileges we have. Don't pass them up when they come your way. Boldly walk into those things and demonstrate the gospel, because we don't know what will happen. God is the God of the impossible. The last thing I see in here is compassion. I love how Jesus targets people who need compassion. He says, he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and a release for the oppressed. His target is for the people who recognize their need, and he's saying, I'm going to bring life to you. I'm here to bring life to those who recognize their need. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important, because he knows who those people are, and he sends us to those people. And I just love this compassion. It's not something that I've always moved in. I've moved in my knowledge. I've moved in my experience. I've moved in my wisdom. But I now am learning to move in compassion. So, George, thank you so much, my spear. Okay, I brought this because, first of all, I'm a woman preaching. There used to be a lot of men here. I know it's like 50-50 maybe, so I'm thinking, if you bring a spear, surely you got the man vote right here, right? So one of the guys in our facilities, you know, you can't bring these from the rest of the world anymore, so you got to have somebody make one. So the guy in facilities, maybe a spear in 20 minutes. But anyway, I'm going to use this to demonstrate or illustrate this missional life of Jesus that's in you, okay? So here we go. The motion for this, okay, ready? Middle row? No. This is so you get the point of my sermon, all right? Okay. Oh, it's pointed right at you, Prof. Yeah. One slip, and there was Mike Lawson greeting Jesus face to face. All right, so this is the power of the Holy Spirit. The motion, the impetus, the thrust of this life comes from the energy and life of the Spirit. I love that Jesus opens his ministry statement by acknowledging his need for the Spirit, his need for the Spirit sending. The Spirit sent the life of Jesus. He sent Jesus. So that's in you. You have that same Holy Spirit. Same one. You didn't get the Steinmart version or the Costco version. You got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. He lives in you. He can be on you, in you, around you, send you, anoint you, whatever he wants to do, he can do whatever he wants to do. And he has that energy and power. Then the blade has two sides. One is proclamation. We're really good at that here. We're about proclaiming. We learn how to proclaim the truth. Love that. Love that. But the other side of the spear is demonstration. And this is where I myself am walking into that part of my Christian life and learning. And then the tip of the spear is compassion. Because the whole point of this is for the Holy Spirit to drive you to people who know their need and are waiting for the good news to come. This life is in you. Your life is a spear. The Holy Spirit wants to send into the hearts and lives of others. I wonder, what would this part of Dallas be like if just this group of people, this number, said, Holy Spirit, awaken me to the missional life of Jesus that is my DNA and send me right here where I go to school or right here where I live. I wonder what the city of Dallas would be like if the entire student body of DTS would have that awakening, if the Holy Spirit would awaken the hearts of all to just begin to say, Lord, awaken me to the Holy Spirit's presence in my life. Lord, awaken me to the proclamation of good news, not bad news, but good news. Lord, awaken me to the demonstration. Push me, Lord. To not just make it all up here, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus in reality. And then, Father, what if you would awaken me to compassion that is in me because the life of Jesus is in me? What would the city look like? What would the state of Texas look like? What if the church would arise with this missional life of Jesus and the Holy Spirit would birth an awareness of that in our hearts? Because you're not missional because you do missional things. I tried that. I tried to make our church missional. I bore the burden and weight of making people missional. You cannot do it. You cannot make someone missional. The hope that we have is that the Holy Spirit will grab the hearts of people, yours first, mine first, and awaken us to the missional life of Jesus that is already in us, dying to be expressed. Imagine what would happen if we were as serious about this as we are about voting. If we were as bold as we are in other areas. Imagine the life of Jesus released like a spear with compassion, proclamation, and demonstration, reaching those who need Jesus. Would you stand? I want to just pray for you, over you, and I'm going to ask you just to grab hands. This is going to be so awkward for guys, I know. Let's just go right across the rows. Even the profs are holding hands. Let's take a picture of that, huh? That's awesome. You know why? Because we're a community. We're a community. We are the body of Christ. And he is our head, and he has given us his life. And it's about time that the body came together, brothers and sisters in one family, and said, Jesus, awaken us to the reality of your life in us and send us forth by the power of the Spirit. So, Father, I pray over my dear brothers on this platform and dear sisters, and I pray for the students, not just who are here, but by proxy, all Dallas Seminary students. And Father, I ask that you would commission us by your Holy Spirit into a season of boldness that the times in the world call for, that the church would arise in her strength and in her beauty and in the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. Father, we would proclaim the good news and that we would demonstrate it by our lives and our boldness to bring the good news to bear on individuals that you surely will show us. And that we would move in the compassion and joy of Jesus and reclaim this ministry, this missional life. Father, we can't do missional things and make ourselves missional. God, I pray you would make us missional people because you're awakening us to the missional life of Jesus that you died to provide and that lives in us today. We love you, Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.